The White House compound was now empty, except for the group with Cheney in the East Wing bomb shelter, and the team with me in the West Wing Situation Room. Roger, Lisa, and Paul from my counterterrorism staff. Frank Miller and Marine Colonel Tom Greenwood, and a half dozen Situation Room staff. Roger Cressy, sitting on my right, was a career national security practitioner. In 1993, I asked him to go to Mogadishu as an aide to Admiral Jonathan T. Howe, who, in effect, was the UN's governor in Somalia. Cressy drove the darkened streets of Mogadishu at night in a pickup truck with a 9mm strapped to his hip, listening to the gunfire rippling around town. 2 years later, when another American, General Jacques Klein, was appointed by the UN to run bombed-out eastern Slavonia, Cressy had gone into the rubble with him. Together, they dealt with warring Croatians and Serbs, including war criminals, refugees, and organized crime thugs. Cressy had joined me at the White House in November 1999. Now 35 years old, he was married to a State Department expert on weapons of mass destruction and had a beautiful 2-year-old daughter. He thought his father-in-law was on American 77. Later, Cressy would learn that his father-in-law was safe. Lisa Gordon Haggerty, sitting behind me, had started her career at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory as an expert on nuclear weapons and the health effects of radiation. Blonde and stylish, she stood out among the White House staff. Lisa had helped to create and organize NEST, the Nuclear Emergency Support Team. NEST was supposed to give support to U.S. military special forces trained to seize and disarm nuclear weapons in the hands of terrorists. Lisa had trained with Delta Force and SEAL Team 6. I was impressed by her understanding of weapons of mass destruction, including chemical and biological devices, especially during the Tokyo subway attack in 1995 when terrorists had sprayed sarin nerve gas. In 1998, I asked her to join me in the White House to design and implement a new national plan to defend against terrorist attacks using chemical and biological weapons. 3 weeks after her arrival, Al-Qaeda attacked the 2 U.S. embassies in Africa. Lisa had stayed up for 3 days straight, coordinating the flow of FBI, state, marine, and disaster response teams to Kenya and Tanzania. Paul Kurtz on my left was another career civil servant. I had first hired him in 1987 in the Intelligence Bureau at State. There, he became an expert on nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles. Following the first Gulf War, he went into Iraq repeatedly for both the International Atomic Energy Agency and the UN Special Commission to hunt down hidden Iraqi weapons. Kurtz then became the political advisor to the U.S. commander of Operation Northern Watch, based in Turkey. He took a Black Hawk flight every week into the Kurdish areas of Iraq. The week after he left his job, his successor died when the U.S. Air Force mistakenly shot down the U.S. Army Black Hawk. Kurtz then went on to North Korea, inspecting for a nuclear weapons program. On his first inspection, Kurtz and his team were forced into a concrete blockhouse and surrounded by loudly jeering Korean troops who thrust bayonets in the windows at them. He joined the White House terrorism team in December 1999 and spent Christmas Day that year accompanying the National Security Advisor to the terrorism centers at CIA and FBI as part of the Millennium Terrorist Alert. Like Cressy, he had run marathons, and he was the kind of guy that no one disliked. These people did not flap. They were like family to me, but suddenly I realized that I wanted them to leave for their own safety. I checked again with FAA to see if they still thought there were hijacked aircraft aloft. There were 3,900 aircraft still in the air, and at least 4 of those were believed to be in the hands of terrorists.